Amen. So something else that I'm sure everyone is excited about is back to school. Who's excited about back to school? Come on. Yeah, I know I am. As a parent, I am always excited about back to school. You know why? Because all my kids get up on out and get on out of the house and get to go to school, and it gives us a little more freedom at home to get things done. So I'm very excited about school. Today is what we're calling Back to School Sunday. Back to School Sunday. Thank you, Miss Sandy. What a beautiful sign out in the lobby. Back to School Sunday, what is it about? So before we get started here, I want to make sure it's clear. Today is back to school. Most of our children in public school and in various counties are going back to school this week or already in back to school. And we want to recognize those children and that transition in life, because it's a hard transition. People get anxious. Kids are anxious. Who's my teacher? What classes I have to take? All those things. Teachers are anxious. Who are my students? Who are the parents going to be? You know, who knows? All sorts of things are changing right now. So we wanted to recognize it's a big transition in our lives. It's also a transition in our church. People come back from vacation. We're going to see a lot more faces as the school year progresses. And we want to recognize that we have a lot going on with school, even in church. And so we have a little video just to get you started and get you excited about back to school. Pretty cool, right, guys? Chad's doing a great job. He is really figuring out how to put these videos together. And we wanted to sort of inspire you with what's going on in schools. How many remember taking tests? Yeah? Remember taking tests? How many remember the school bus and you know, your new teacher and getting all of your school supplies ready and your binders, your three-ring binders? Remember we had those and the little reinforcers that went on the. I don't know if they do those things anymore. I saw a commercial recently with a kid writing notes and a guy came and smacked his notebook. Said, "What are you in 1993?" They gave him a computer. Like, I guess they don't use notebooks anymore. I don't know. I still have some of my three-ring binders. But what I wanted to say today about back to school, before we get into the word, you're going to have to bear with me here because it's something really important to do. We're going to talk about school in a moment, but there's something that takes place every Sunday in church before the worship and the word. Do you know what that is? There we go. You can say it with me on three. One, two, three. Sunday school. That's right, Sunday school. So I'm sure the kids are like, ugh. Sunday school, let me see. That means basically school year-round with no break. No, Sunday school is a really important time for the church and for Kingsway. And I want to talk about Sunday school and why it's so important and why it's so great. But before I do that, I have something really important to do. I bet you didn't realize how much is actually going on at Kingsway with respect to training our children. You know, the word says, train your child up in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Do you know how much is going on at Kingsway right now with the aspect of training your children? You probably don't. So, Miss Charlene, would you join me up front? Miss Charlene is our Discipleship Ministries, our church education director, and she helps me organize a lot. And we'll get to Miss Charlene in a moment. But right now, what we want to do is we want to take a couple minutes here, so bear with me, and introduce and display to you everything that's going on at Kingsway. And we want to honor the leaders that are running those ministries today with a little gift. So we want to honor them and tell you a little bit about what they do. What you can do is you can clap for them, you can pray for them, but I also want you to do this. We're going to talk just a little bit, a minute or two, about each one of our leaders. We'll put it on the board. And I want you to think, wow, that's interesting. I could invite somebody to that. We have so many areas to invite someone to. You may be surprised. So let's get started, would you?
Sharing Jesus.
This is our full complement of what's taking place before church. Church hasn't even started yet, and we have all of this going on. Think about that for a second, church. This is an amazing opportunity to get your friends, your family, or anyone you know involved, all ages, on Sunday morning between 9:30 and 10:30. We are teaching them the Word of God. But I tell you, church, that's not it. I was surprised. We started putting this on, Miss Charlene. I didn't realize how much we had going on. Now, church starts, and when church starts, we have toddler church. So all little toddlers, they go out, and they do another thing as an extension of Sunitha's class for Miss Jessie. So Miss Jessie, please come up. Oh, But that's not it. Then we have kids' church. This has got a near and dear place in my heart. Miss Laura Boone, come on up here. Let me clap it on for Miss Laura. Church, how amazing is this? Look at what this small church has to offer. Now it's time for all of us to stand and give a huge round of applause for all of our leaders. Thank you. But don't leave. Don't leave. Okay, you can be seated. Children, if there's any children here, I don't care what age you are, if you're in school in any way, that's elementary school, preschool, college, graduate school, any school, if you're any children, I want you to come up with me. We are going to pray for you, and you're going to help me pray for all the teachers. Any kids, come on, help me, come on up. Look, if you're in school right now, you need all the prayer you can get. School's hard. Come on up, buddy, come on up. If you come up, you get a prize. How about that? We got a really cool prize for you. So if you're a kid, come on up, Bryce. I got prizes. I got treats. Come on. Yeah. Why don't you say prizes, kids, start coming up. No, you can. No. It's so, Bryce, it's okay, buddy. And so, see, school's tough on everyone. School's a tough situation. All right, kids, family, church, let's pray for our Sunday school teachers. Let's pray for God's word continue to be taught at Kingsway. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that it is back to school Sunday. I thank you, Lord, that we can recognize the importance of school, the importance of education, the importance of empowering those around us with your word, with your knowledge, with your insight. Thank you, Father God, for teaching us this lesson. Thank you, Father God, for sending us leaders willing to fight the good fight, willing to stand up and take time out of their schedule and learn your word, study your word, ask for what you would have us to teach, and then come into this church before anyone's up, even up in the morning, to come in and prepare their room and to begin to teach these children week in and week out. Father God, I thank you for it, and I ask that you bless them with amazing blessings all throughout their life. In your name I pray, amen. Now, here's the reason I got all the kids up here. Before you get your prize. Kids, is school easy?
No.
Khalil says it's easy. School ain't easy. It's the teachers are sometimes difficult. The classes are difficult. The popularity contest is difficult. The identity situation is difficult. The what am I going to be when I grow up is difficult. The who's my friend one day, who's not my friend the other day. What am I going to wear this day? What did she say that day? It's hard, we get it. So we're gonna have all these teachers pray for you guys as you go back to school, just right now. We're gonna pray right here. So teachers, you can just stretch your hands forth. Family, stretch your hands forth over these kids, and we're gonna pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these kids. Lord God, thank you for sending us children. Thank you for allowing us to be fruitful and multiply. Lord God, we understand our school system isn't exactly right, that there is issues, there's things that are broken. But Father God, I don't have all the answers with that, but I do know that I can look to you for the answer. And Father God, you have said to me that we will send seeds all throughout the school system. Father God, I pray for these seeds to enter into that school system and begin to be fruitful and multiply, to allow their vision, to allow their life, to allow their light to shine bright in the school system, to allow their testimony to go before them, even if they don't say anything, just the way they respond, the way they act. Father God, I ask that you bless them. And Father God, any child right now who's thinking about running away from you, who's being pulled in another direction, Father God, I ask that you tie a string around their heart. And as they begin to run, Father, you begin to pull. As a teacher begins to tug, you begin to pull back. As a friend begins to tug a war with them, you begin to tug back, Father God. And let them know that you will never leave them nor forsake them. And that, Father God, you will be with them, lo and always. And Father God, as they serve you, all things will work together for good. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Now let's give all little kids a surprise bag and send them back. Okay. As I began to think about school, I began to think about this. You know what that is? That's a teacher. And we had all the teachers up, but it really impacted me as I began to prepare for back to school Sunday. I realized it's not just our Sunday school teachers. Do you know that we have 3 professionally trained, fully dedicated teachers in our congregation in the education system? 3. All three of these young ladies have been teaching in our school system and do their best to pour into the lives of the kids around them in any way they know how. You know, and Jesse has taught me that it has a lot to do with organizing your room and making sure you have everything ready to go, because that is not easy, apparently, with some of these young ones. But I thought, wouldn't it be special to pray for these teachers? You know how hard it is to be in our public school system and to be a Christian, and yet to be a Christian teacher in a public school system, it can't be easy. And so I thought, wouldn't it be great to have one of our very own students pray for our teachers? So I'm going to have Austin, he's volunteered to pray for our teachers, and not just the teachers that are here, but all of our teachers who are pouring their lives into children all across Baltimore. Austin?
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that we could have good teachers in the school system. Thank you that we could have good Christian teachers and that you could provide them in these public schools. Thank you. Just thank you. I pray that you keep them safe. I pray for the students. They have good students. I pray the parents are good, and I pray you just keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Austin. Now, it's important. It's important. Think about if all the churches around the world would be praying for our school systems and our teachers. Could you imagine the impact on our education system? Could you imagine the impact on the students? Because believe me, I haven't met all the students in Jesse's or Lisa's or Miss Charlene's class, but I guarantee you some of them kids need prayer. Some of them families need prayer. And if we would pray for them more regularly, we would start seeing the change that we expect to see in our school systems and in the resources that they need and in the attitude about school in general. And that's what today is about. Back to School Sunday, recognizing all things education and how the church plays a role in that. And I believe one of the most important roles we play in that is prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer at the altar changes things. Prayer in your home changes things. Prayer for our teachers changes things. Church, are you with me? Church, do you believe me? You don't need to believe me. You need to believe in Christ, who said that prayer changes things. And that's what I'm trying to get you guys excited about. Now, as I think about school, teachers come to mind. Yes, that is true. Them tests, pesky tests, they come to mind. That's true. How about this? If you're a parent, you know all about this. First day at school. Woohoo! You know, this can be an anxious moment. You know, my wife, we've taken these pictures with our little kids anytime they go to school for the first day. And more recently, this year specifically, our kids weren't doing any major change. There was no high school, middle school switch, if you will. Everyone has been to school. So I woke up that first morning and said, do I need to make a big deal about this? Do I need to get dressed up and take pictures? She's like, no, you know, all the kids, they know what they're doing. They got dressed. They all went. I was like, okay, it's a normal day. You know, she took all the kids to school. About 15 minutes later, I get a text message. And text messages is not video. Text message is not a face. I don't know what she looks like or what expression's on her face. But it's one of those text messages that you can absolutely read it and say, oh, yeah, she's crying. Yep. It says it's something like, this is a sad day. This is, I didn't like today or whatever it was. It's a tough day. It's a tough day for everyone. First day of school. It's an anxious moment. And the Lord is trying to remind us that all the time we're going into things that remind us of school. We have teachers in our life that bring the word or bring an example to us. We have tests in our life that prove us and allow us to prove the Lord. We have friends and relationships that we can only meet in certain places. It's like a microcosm of school. Life is. And that's what I want to talk about. And as I thought about that, I thought to myself, who wants to go back to that? Do you remember that? That is college. For any of you who've been to college, it looks a little bit like that. Now, anybody who's done school, anybody want to go back to college? Anybody, except for you, Miss Laura, we know that you love it. But does anyone else really, really want to go back to college? Okay, so we have a couple. Generally speaking, when people graduate, they say, finally. That's why you throw the cap, because you're done. You're done. And what I wanted to say today is number one, we have two students in college today that we need to be praying for, Caitlin Roush and Brittany Asana. Brittany's in postgrad, and now her residency or her rotation for her medicine, and Caitlin is in her junior year of college. So we have two students who are trying to take the word of God back to their area of education. So it's important that we be praying for them. It's very hard in college today. But I say to you this, do we really want to go back to college? Well, college is important because we call it higher education. It's the next level of education. It allows us to grow in the things of intellect, the things that we need to learn about. So I ask you this, how are you going to learn the higher education of God's word? Well, you would go back to college. That's one way. You can go to seminary. That's another way. But if we're not going to go back to college, what option do you have? Enter Sunday school. It's free. We don't charge anything. Tuition's out of this world. You know, and I'm telling you guys, that this is an opportunity for you to take advantage of what the Lord is doing in Kingsway without having to make a massive commitment. And here's the way I think about it. You can think of commitment as financial commitment or time commitment. If you go to school, you have to enroll and it costs money. And then you have to go to class and that takes time. And then you have to study and that takes more time. And then you have to prepare for the test and then you're anxious. And then you get the grade back. And if you didn't do well, you got to do it again. That's a lot going on there. So that's one way. So you have to remember this, growing up, we used to say our kids, son, daughter, you can either learn it the hard way or you can learn it the easy way. My dad used to tell me this all the time. And usually he had his fist up as he was telling me that, or you can learn the hard way. Here's what I want you to glean from this comment. You could learn the hard way or you could learn the easy way. That generally, when people say this comes out of the context of life experiences. In your life, you can learn things the easy way. You can be told that this is a bad idea. Don't do this. If you do this, this will happen. Do you know why? Because I've tried it, and I know what's going to happen. Or, as a teenager, you could hear this. Wah, 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 wah. Guess what I'm going to do? No matter what. That's the hard way. And that is no different than how God works. He is trying to teach you the easy way. He is trying to tell you how to avoid the pitfalls of life, how to navigate the troubles, how to get over your struggles, how to achieve the benefits and the blessings in your life. But a lot of times, we hear these things in church, or we hear something I say, and you don't quite understand what I'm saying, and you hear, wah, 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 life is hard, wah, 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 what do I do, wah, 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 I think I'm supposed to pray. That's it. And so what Sunday school is there for is to help fill in the blank. It's to allow you an opportunity to fill in those blanks and hear it a little more clearly on your level. I may say things that you have no clue what it means. Come to Sunday school the next week and ask. Talk about it. And the Bible says this. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. The word does not want you to be ignorant. You see, a pet peeve of mine, I get so... just really aggravated when I'm around some of my friends, some of my colleagues in the business world who believe that Christians are just ignorant. They're just brainwashed. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't have any real common sense. I feel like I have some good common sense. I feel like I can put two and two together and get to four. I believe I can read something and determine its validity if it's good or not. And I've experienced a lot. And the word is saying, beyond your experience, I don't want you to be ignorant. It actually then says that we should always be ready to give a defense for anyone that asks, why is the hope and the joy in you? In other words, you should know what the word says, know what you believe, and be able to give a response to it for anyone that asks, regardless if they're your friend or they're a colleague or they're a neighbor, regardless if it's a conversation you feel unequipped for or not. The word is teaching us that we need to prepare ourselves and to not be ignorant. And the best way to do that isn't by sitting in on a church Sunday. That's a great opportunity for God to speak to you. But the best way for you not to be ignorant is Sunday school. And it's why we still do Sunday school. This church represents a legacy of Sunday school. That is why we keep doing it. We have these classrooms here on purpose so that we can teach and train up our children. Are you with me, church? All right, before I get into the word here, and I'm not going to spend long. I know it's already a little late. And I want to say this so I don't get carried away. If you decide to leave or you decide that you need to step out, we're going to have a get-together a back-to-school Sunday get-together after church. We're going to open those doors. They're cooking food right now. They're going to bring it out into the lobby, and we're going to socialize and fellowship as a thank you, not just to the teachers, but for all of you for coming to Sunday school and all of the volunteers, because there are so many volunteers that help out with Sunday school and all of the activities we do. So we just want to spend some time and hang out in the lobby and the narthex there and enjoy each other. So I'm going to try to end on time so we have the time to do that. Okay, so I was thinking about this, the hard way and the easy way. What is it about the easy way that Sunday school affords us? I just wanted to make sure I take this plug and say, if I think about Sunday school and should we get rid of it or should we continue it? And here's what I came up with. Number one, it increases your knowledge. You need a place to increase your Bible knowledge. Why do you need to increase your Bible knowledge? Because this is the way that you can obey Christ. If you don't know what the word says, then how are you going to obey it? It makes no sense to me. And there's a lot of words in the 66 books of the Bible. And so if you aren't going to sit home and read them all the time and study by yourself, then hey, come to Sunday school. We'll do it with you. And we have a lot of fun doing it. Come to Sunday school and increase your Bible knowledge. Second, deepen your spiritual growth. We've talked about the seed and it being watered and fed and in that soil. This is an opportunity for you to be watered and fed. It's an opportunity for you to hear something else, internalize it, and then say, oh, wow, I didn't understand it that way. I didn't see it that way. And you begin to pray now for maybe for someone else in that Sunday school class. And you're doing something you found yourself maybe never doing ever. Sunday school class affords you to deepen your spiritual growth. Uh-oh, don't look at the last one. There we go. Belong to something. Now, this is what's great about school. You get to go to school, and you get to be part of your little class. It's also what's hard about school, because you get in your class, you begin to break up in groups, little cliques, and some people feel like they belong, other people don't belong. You know, I was a misfit in high school. You know, I wasn't with the athletes, although I played varsity sports. I just didn't quite click with them. I wasn't with the sort of math, chess, science nerds, even though I did a lot of math, science. I just didn't quite fit with them. You know, I was just kind of in my own little... I just didn't fit well into the groups that way they had. And it was hard for me to feel like I belonged. Church was an area, youth group was an area that I felt like I could really connect, that Christ could speak to me and allow me without even knowing to connect to something. Sunday school is an opportunity for you to belong to something, for you to meet and have relationships that you may not otherwise have. Hey, I tell you, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go into the Good Shepherd class. Those guys have a blast there. It's like those guys have been friends for life. In there. I mean, I love walking in there and seeing what they're doing. And they are very welcoming for anybody else to come into that class. Here's another area. If you go to Sunday school, you can minister. What does this mean? Minister. I don't expect you to be a pastor. I don't expect you to come up here and preach. I don't expect you to do anything other than what God has called you to do. But Sunday school is the one place that God is going to call you most unexpected. In other words, you're going to go in there thinking, I'm just going to sit and listen. After a couple weeks, you have something to say, and now you share something. After a couple months, the Lord has shared a Bible verse for you. Now you're texting your buddies and your friends. Guess what the Lord had said to me? You know, I learned this in Sunday school class. And before long, you're raising your hand like Jeremy saying, can I lead the class? Ministering. He doesn't need a degree. He doesn't need to be certified. You know how easy it is? We showed the kids a video, and we sit right here, and we talk to them. Any one of you can do it. You can help in Sunday school. You can help in kids' church. It's so easy. It just requires you to be willing. Oh, and attend. A lot of you are willing, you just don't want to attend. You don't want to get up early. Austin says, man, I got up early. Austin, you get up at 7 o'clock for school. What do you mean you can't get up at 8 o'clock for Sunday school? So this gives you an opportunity to minister. And the Lord wants to work his gifts through you. You don't know what your gifts are? Come to Sunday school and watch the Lord start using you. Here's another area, the last one I had for today. Involve the whole family in church. I talk to families all the time, say, my daughter doesn't come to church with me. My grandchild doesn't know who Jesus is, or my wife doesn't like church, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they may not like church. It can be stressful. You come in, you're singing weird songs, people up the front praying, somebody's falling down, they're saying weird things. It's an awkward situation. But you know what? Sunday school is pretty normal. Sunday school is a bunch of people in a room, in a class. You can invite anybody to it, and your whole family can come. You can bring your brothers, your sisters, your mother, your father. I do. You can bring your kids. You can bring your grandkids. We have families here that bring their grandkids, and they learn about Christ in these very room, Yeah, I heard a story. I don't know where Miss Debbie is. I heard a story recently. Miss Debbie was telling me the kids were talking about, you know, supernatural. They're talking about, you know, vampires, or they're talking about zombies. And one says, oh, zombies don't exist. The other one says, zombies do exist. And one of the youngest ones in the car says, let me tell you what does exist. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hey, learn that from Sunday school. This is how it works, guys. This is how it works. This is why Sunday school is so important. Church, are you with me? Okay, somebody's saying, are you going to open up the Bible? Sure. Got one. But today, I wanted to talk about this from the Word of God. What is that? Playground. It's one of the things I remember most about school when I was a little one. Everyone loves recess, and you run to the playground. Isn't the playground fun? That's just, you know, that's a cool playground. All the kids are having a blast. It's not always a blast in the playground. The bullies come out. You get hurt. You find out what group you're in real quick. You may not get to play. You may have to wait in line. It's not always fun. I wanted to share this story with you before I get into the Word about playgrounds. There was a study recently that I read about a bunch of scientists that wanted to do some social dynamics on kids. And they created a playground in the middle of a park, all green, acres and acres of land. And they built a beautiful playground right in the middle. They bussed a bunch of kids in. And they walked them up to the park, and they had some adults there watching, and they said, go play. The only instructions they gave them. So all the kids ran to the playground, and they started playing. And after about a half an hour, they noticed something very interesting. None of the kids ventured very far off from the playground. They all stayed really close. Okay, you think that's not interesting? They took all the kids away. Next week, they went back, and they created a very large fence all the way around the playground with you know, maybe 100 yards in every direction. Now they brought the kids in, and they said, go play. And you know what happened? Now, they felt freedom, and they began to expand. Now you got kids playing in this corner, kids in that corner, kids nowhere even near the playground, having a blast way over there. Now, why is that? Why is that? Some will tell me, if you build a fence, you're separating yourself from one another. Don't build fences. There's books about that. Fences separate. Really? Because these kids, when they had no fence, they had no freedom. They were connected to the playground, and they felt very anxious and nervous. What was going to come get them? Couldn't they be out there? They could get lost. They could get taken. They don't know. You put the fence in, and now the kids are all spreading out. What did the fence do? The fence began to give them a sense of comfort, a sense of protection. The fence is something that was common to them. It spoke to their soul to say, I can go play all the way up to the fence, and I know if I go all the way up to the edge of this fence, nothing is going to hurt me. They know that in their spirit. So, church, what does this have to do with God's Word? If you have your Bibles with me, you can open up to Psalms chapter 19. You know, yesterday was a memorial service, and in memorial services, they preach out of Psalms a lot, and so I think this message just came out of the fact that I was in Psalms, and I'm excited to share this with you. I'm not putting the verses on the board. I'm just going to read them, and you can read along with me if you like. It's Psalms chapter 19, verse 7. I'm not going to spend long here. I'm not going to preach as much as I'm just going to read it. It's talking about the Word. It's talking about the Bible. It's talking about God's law. It's talking about God's fence in your life. The one you know that the do's and the don'ts, the one you think that's restricting you and holding you back, the one you think that you'd rather not be there at times, that one, this is what it's talking about. Verse 7, the instructions of the Lord are perfect. They revive the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy. They make the wise simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, and they bring joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. The reverence of the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping fresh from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. Heavenly Father, let this word just sink into our soul this morning. Allow us to be inspired that your word is here to instruct us. Your word is here to command us. Your word is here, Father God, to teach us something that is more desirable than gold. Teach us something that is more sweeter than honey. Teach us something, Father God, that we can get only by having a fence around us, a sense of freedom that if we obey, great reward comes from. In your name I pray, amen. Church, do you get a sense of what I'm saying? That God has put a fence around you. But the fence isn't to restrict you. The fence isn't to hold you back. The fence, it is for your good. It's for your good. Do you see that, church? Now, put that in your mind for a second. Wait a minute. The fence is actually there to protect me, not to hold me back. Now, in that context, with that imagery, listen to Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I have all that I need in the fence. He lets me rest in green meadows in the fence. He leads me beside peaceful streams in the fence. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths in the fence, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest of valleys, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare, here is beautiful, a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. He does it because you're in the fence. You can have a feast in the fence, and if your enemies are looking in, you're good to go. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Anyone that tells you following God's law is going to restrict you, take away from you, or limit you, you say, my cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know where his house is, church? It's inside that fence. It's inside that fence. And if that fence wasn't there, when you came out of that house, you probably wouldn't be wandering. You'd probably be scared to death. And you know what else would happen? The wolves, the lion, the word talks about, you know, the roaring lion that comes around to devour, you know, him, yeah? He don't have no fence anymore. And guess where he's coming for? You. It's interesting, church. I want you to think about that. And then when you think about it that way, it puts it into context, right? When I went back and looked about fences in Scripture, it really talks about a hedge. Because, see, fences were hard to build. Stone fences were hard to build. And wood, well, if you had to build a lot of area, you didn't have a lot of wood. So you know what they used for? They built hedges, and they built it with seeds. They used thistles, a special kind of seed. We talked about that already. And these hedges would create large boundaries around their area. And the foxes and the wolves and the various animals couldn't get through the hedges because, you know, they were prickly, and you could be protected behind the hedge. And we, as Christians, we even pray the prayer. We even pray the prayer, a hedge of protection. A hedge of protection. Yeah, I want to show you this real quick. I'm going to come back here. Here, right here. It's a hedge of protection. In Job, it says this, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You know who was saying this? Does anyone remember who was saying this? Anyone? This was Satan. Satan was coming after Job. And he says to God, I can't get to him because there's this hedge around his household. You put it there, Lord. You put a fence in his life. put a fence. Even Satan knows where the fence is, church. You see, the fence that God is setting up in your life, the hedge of protection you put in your life, is not for you to jump over and crack through and get away. But there are gates, by the way. There are gates. There are passages. But that is for another message. Today, I wanted to finish with this. It's a story, and then I want to read another scripture to you. You can turn in your Bible as I'm telling you the story. I read Psalms 19. Flip it. Go to Psalms 91 as I tell this story. I don't know where I heard it. I remember preaching it when I was in youth at some point. I don't know if I read it off the internet, or somebody told me the story, or I made it up. I have no clue. But I want to share it with you today. There was a kid who grew up in a farm, in a home. He had a lot of land. Him and his brother would explore the land often. They had tree houses. They had farm animals. They had barns. They had lakes. They had streams. And they would explore this land. And as they got older, they explored farther and farther, and they had more opportunity to explore. As they explored this land, the one brother came upon a fence. The fence was prickly. The fence was hard to overcome. And so the child goes back at dinner time and says, "Dad, I found a fence. You know, is that our neighbor's property?" "No, son, that's our property." "Okay." So the kids went back out the next day, and they see the fence, and they say to one another, "We should go over this fence." And the one brother says to the other brother, "I don't think that's a good idea." The other brother says, "Yeah, it's our property. We can go wherever we want." They go back home. They have this conversation. "Dad, that fence, right? It's on our property, right?" "Yeah, yeah, it's our property." Dad says, "You shouldn't go over the fence, though." That's all he says. The kids then the next day, as kids would be, wah, 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 go over the fence. "Dad said go over the fence, right? That's what I heard." "Yeah, I think that's what you're right, brother. Let's go over the fence." So they get a little, they build a little step stool. You know, they take it to the fence. And they climb over. Now, the stool's not quite high enough, so he's trying to get over the fence, and he can't quite reach over. He can't quite get over. So he asks what every good brother asks. "Give me a push." The big brother takes the little brother. Of course, it's always the little guy. He takes the little brother, and whoo, right over the fence. Plop, the little kid goes, "I'm over the fence. Let's see what's over here." He starts running, and in about 5 yards, he comes to an immediate stop, because now he is nose to nose with a bull. Completely paralyzed, not knowing what to say or to do. Apparently, Dad knew this was all going to happen, so Dad is in the cattle farm already. Dad is able to call the bull over. Apparently, the bull's docile. The little brother pulls him over, says, "What did you do? What were you doing?" And Dad says, "Don't you see? Don't you see that it's not a fence around our property? That is a fence keeping the bulls in our property. Don't you see, church? Don't you see that the fences in your life, they're not there because God is trying to keep or keep you from something in your life. God is keeping something out of your life. Jump that fence today, and you're going to find yourself eye to eye with a bull. You're going to find yourself eye to eye with something you don't want to be. And just like that story about the playground, when we're on the playground, God is asking you, is telling you, is encouraging you to enjoy all that he has to offer in his playground. It is richer than gold. It is sweeter than honey. Have you explored it today? Now, with that, let's read Psalms 91. I just want you to get a hold of that today. I want you to get a hold of the fences that we have and what we use them for and what they are. And I believe that we can put a hedge of protection around our families, and we can put a hedge of protection. It doesn't mean that something won't get in. Sure, sometimes things get in, sometimes the birds fly over, sometimes things get in. But once you're in the family, there's a lot of ways to take care of it, a lot more support inside the fence. There's a lot more preparation inside the fence than when you're over the fence. So with Psalm 91, it says this. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High, they will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap. He will protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor of the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying all around you, look around our world. These evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil can conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up in their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer, and I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Will you stand with me, church? Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father. I am in shock and awe at your wisdom, at your instruction. It is so profound, yet it is so simple. You've taught us that even if we don't understand every bit, that if we simply follow you, you will love us, you will bless us, you will protect us. Father, I can only imagine how David sang this song. I can only imagine, Lord, the emotion inside of him, because, Lord, it is only through the experiences of this life that you come to such a conviction about who you are. Father God, I pray right now that we can gain those experiences the easy way. I pray, Lord, through things like Sunday school, things like worship, things like prayer, things like corporate church gatherings, things like church events, things, Father God, that you encourage us to do. I pray that you use these things in our lives as the easy way. I pray you call us near. Father God, I pray that we not be so stubborn to have to learn everything the hard way. Your word says there's nothing new under the sun, yet every day we wake up smarter than the next guy. having to try the same thing over again. Father, I pray you teach us that we can live in a hedge of protection. That doesn't mean that life will be easy. Pastor Pat taught us there is no place that we will ever arrive called easy. But with the breastplate of righteousness, the way we respond to those actions, Lord, we can be blessed as we live in your hedge of protection. I pray, Lord God, you firmly plant us in your house today, spiritually. And spiritually, you wrap your hedge of protection around each and every one under the sound of my voice. And Father God, you begin to heal those as they come closer to you. You begin to restore lives as they come closer to you. You begin to bring comfort and confidence as they come closer to you. And Father God, I pray that you bless them and keep them. I pray, Lord God, that your face shine upon them and be gracious unto them. I pray, Lord God, that your presence would be made manifest in their life and that you would give them your peace.